Now, this is the second half of the program. I'm about 3 minutes over here, but we'll continue. This is broadcast number 571. It's November 18th, 1982. I'll do more on DeLorean in a couple of weeks. There's just so much on him, and it's a little nauseating to read it, but it's interesting. It's not really nauseating. One comment, the London Observer, November the 7th, 1982, the House of Commons will inquire into DeLorean's Lotus Car Company. He had a deal that he called Lotus Car in London, and it was actually a Panamanian front that has about $12 to $20 million in a Swiss bank that has nothing to do with the cars. Now, the Lotus Car Design is an Italian company, as I mentioned last week, so that the House of Commons is investigating John DeLorean, and so is the Security Exchange Commission, and he's in trouble with taxes and records, and the books were altered. And even though his wife has ordered a new wardrobe for the trial, a very expensive wardrobe, and cut her hair to look like somebody very austere and not so much fun. Again, in this country, it's all image, but watch the stories break on DeLorean. We'll update them in a short time. One quick article and then a few other items I want to linger on at greater length. The Washington Post had an article last week. The United States preserves the Hitler-era papers. Germany wants, according to an agreement in 1980, all the archive records of their families and families going back to the year 200 years ago, the wife's ancestries, the applications for SS officers. They have information in Washington. The documentation center in Germany was cleared out and brought to the United States. There are 10.7 million Nazi Party membership cards in the United States archives, and Germany wants them now. And Ronald Reagan says, I want to copy them. Now, if the United States ever combined with Germany in a Gestapo operation, we would both know who's who and what's what, combined with the microfilmed archives in the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City that have all of us back to the year 600. The Reagan administration intends to have one set of the whole collection. There are 10.7 million Nazi Party membership cards, 660,000 SS special police files. That was Himmler's Gestapo, 666,000 files, 400,000 of the SA, the stormtroopers, in addition to the SS, 1.5 million pieces of German correspondence, 2.5 million German citizenship claims and reports. They're in the U.S. National Archives. In 1980, the agreement was to transfer all of this back to the government in Germany, where they would go back again to the history of their SS. They have character references, photographs, meticulously detailed of the family tree of 300,000 stormtroopers and their wives. The SS officers, if they wanted to be married, had to submit applications. Then they traced the wives' ancestry 200 years for the pure German race. Now, where are these children of those people that are already documented? These are, as I say, 400,000 SA stormtroopers and 660,000 SS Gestapo. The bulk of these are in thick-walled concrete chambers in the United States. An agreement was made to transfer them to West Germany. Ronald Reagan is saying, because we might deport some more Germans in this country, they're considering another 210 cases. They want to go over these papers, and Bonn, Germany, is claiming that we're stalling. Also, Hitler's Mercedes is going back to Germany. The car that carried Adolf Hitler triumphantly through the streets of Germany is now going back. It was bought by a man in Phoenix, Arizona, and he says, forget the man who owned it. They are real works of art, the finest thing to come out of Germany. And I remember calling Drew Pearson when Hitler's yacht was sold in Florida and said, you find who bought and sold the rock in that yacht, and you'll find out who had a part in killing John Kennedy. Now, this past week, Otto von Bolschwing, the fellow that I said was connected to Helene von Dahm, Ronald Reagan's appointment secretary for cabinet positions and U.S. Marshals, Otto von Bolschwing became somewhat of a hero. The wire services carried stories, the UPI and newspapers. Nazi war criminal was really an ally, and it tells how Otto von Bolschwing worked for the United States Army Intelligence and how he was working to help the United States government, that he wasn't the Nazi people. Said he was, that he was working with a group in Tyrol. The Tyrol underground movement material assisted the armed forces in the United States at the Fern Pass in Western Austria, and that he helped the United States. This is the theory of this article coming out, that Otto Albrecht von Bolschwing worked as a member of the Tyrol underground, helping the U.S. Army. Well, he helped people get out, but everything he did for the Krupps or for the Nazis before and after was 100% Nazi. So how do we know who he helped get out as a movement? He was working with the SS and the CIA. It wasn't the CIA then, it was the OSS and Hitler's stormtroopers, the SS. So how would we know that who he got out through this Tyrol underground movement? It may be some more Nazis that he got out under the title that they were heroes. And now he is being proclaimed in the news this past week as having aided the United States forces. If you aided the United States Army, and the United States Army hired Otto Skorzeny and Fritz Kramer and Mengele's or Bormann to do their jobs, what's the difference if he aided the United States? See, there's no delineation between a Nazi and the United States government. If a Nazi aided the United States, then he's okay. That's his clearance. Well, I think they're trying to clear his name because there was an article in the Washington Times, that's that newspaper that took over the Star when they went broke. It's run by Reverend Moon. There's a section in there last month. It said, Reagan's Pearl Mesta. Helene von Dahm, the White House personnel director, longs to be the ambassador to Native Austria. And it tells about what we've talked about many times, that she wants to go to Vienna, and she's longing to go there. And it's about how she carries on the Pearl Mesta of the Reagan administration and wants to return to Austria. Now, if she's linked to Otto von Bolschwing and the Reinhard Gehlen Nazi network, and I've been sending letters in Washington and tapes, you can't send somebody that back to Austria. But if you can say that her boss and friend or co-worker and member of a corporation that she translated for Otto von Bolschwing aided the United States Army, then that automatically clears her. Well, if he was so great in the United States Army, I just want to share a few things about von Bolschwing quickly. These come dated May 27, 1981, the deportation papers of Otto von Bolschwing. He lost his citizenship. If he was such a great assistant, how come he signed papers to agree to give up his American citizenship? He should have said, well, wait, I helped you guys. He didn't do that. He gave it up. These were hearings from the Eastern District of California, United States District Court, on Otto von Bolschwing. I, the Deputy Director of the Official of Special Investigations Criminal Division, United States Department of Justice, have access to records. I'm reading this, USA against Otto von Bolschwing. I have access to records and information on the naturalization of Otto von Bolschwing and his activities to and prior to the war, prior to it and during World War II. The Berlin Document Center is a repository of captured German documents, which we also have in this country. Those are the ones I'm talking about. I have examined these documents from the Berlin Document Center and other repositories of German documents, the United States attorney said. And the defendant had the following involvement in the SS, that's the Gestapo, Hitler's SS. The defendant was a member of the SS on April 1940. He joined the rank of second lieutenant. He was promoted in the SS. As of January 1941, he was an agent, special employee of the SD, that is the special department in charge of Jewish affairs. He was an agent and official of the Jewish office from at least 1937 to 1939, and even after it goes into. The defendant participated in planning in the special division program. He thought of the idea of the persecution and forced emigration of Jews from areas under the control of Nazi government of Germany. This is in Holland and also in Romania in particular. The defendant advocated and devised proposals which include a complete exclusion of Jews from the economy of Germany, the use of physical intimidation, the use of anti-Jewish propaganda. He provided the SD, and particular to Adolf Eichmann, who was the official in the office and the Jewish organization, the forced emigration of Jews. The defendant formally became an officer in that special department and held ranks in the office and in Romania in 1940 and 1941 and worked with the Iron Guard. The Iron Guard, according to the United States government, was a violent, fascist, anti-Semitic movement in Romania which murdered, persecuted Jews or any non-ethnic Romanians during that period, 1940 to 1941. The Iron Guard staged rebellions in Romania and had pogroms against the Jewish community, and other people were brutally murdered, tortured by the Iron Guard. The defendant, in his position as head of the SD for Romania, encouraged and aided the Iron Guard as the head, and was doing this up till January of 1941, and assisted with pogroms, and then helped the Iron Guard escape into this country. And those are some of the new people that Mr. Loftus was talking about in the newspaper, the Washington Post, and I referred to the article a few weeks ago. And this goes on. The defendant had membership in these various Romanian organizations, and they have asked, the United States government asked to take away the citizenship of Otto Albrecht von Bolschwing, because he came to this country and he didn't know a thing about this. He said he signed these papers. Now, after he came to this country, you can let bygones be bygones, but then he met with the most ferocious anti-Semitic hierarchy, such as the people in the Bay Area, and working with Helene von Dahm and Thomas Franzioli, F-R-A-N-Z-I-O-L-I, a banker, and the Cabot family from Boston, and Mr. Emanuel Senekis, F-T-E-N-A-N-E-N-A-K-I-S, a relative of Aristotle Onassis. He was vice president of Fairchild, the president of ITT, and worked with Alfred Driscoll from Warner Lambert, etc., etc. Now, on May 27, 1981, the United States government went to von Bolschwing. He admitted his membership in the Nazi Party, I'm reading from these documents, in the SS, in the Special Division. He admitted that. He gave up his certificate for citizenship. Within 20 days, he must voluntarily surrender his certificate of naturalization. The United States of America agrees to forbear from initiating deportation. Alfred von Bolschwing signed this. He agreed that, as the defendant, that he no longer, as of December 22, 1981, he is no longer a duly naturalized citizen of the United States. He is not entitled to any of the rights in the United States. His citizenship is null and void. The clerk orders him to turn over his naturalization number 809-4737 in the name of Otto Albrecht Alfred von Bolschwing, and his citizenship was canceled December 22, 1981. So Helene von Dahm, get to Vienna if you have to, but we'll haunt you all the way there. Now I want to discuss, getting on to another subject, not far from that, the murder up in Oroville, California, little known in news outside of this state, not very much coming out outside of this state. A man named Joe Hoover died. He was murdered September the 30th, and the person who murdered him, the persons were arrested on November the 6th. It took all of October and 6 days in November. I'm going to briefly run down the chronology of what happened in Oroville, California, and the personalities involved and my conclusions, and share this with you for the remaining 15 minutes. And if you have a pencil, write these dates down. Otherwise, you can write to me for them. June 1982, Charles Manson in Vacaville Prison had been under the tightest security in isolation and was allowed to, at that date, June 82, go out of isolation into the medium security prison. In July 82, 1 month after Charles Manson was in medium security, Perry Redwarthen, who's been charged with murdering Joe Hoover, makes his first of four visits to Charles Manson, and he brings back from Manson autographed pictures of Manson for his Nazi members in Oroville, California. September the 8th, 1982, they take a camping trip. Mr. Worth, and he has a 10-year-old son, a 14-year-old Nazi, a 17-year-old Nazi group that he's Nazi youth, and they go to a 40-acre retreat where they do hunting and rifle practice and practice shooting. September the 11th and 12th, there were flyers in the lockers of three schools up in Oroville. 200 flyers were put there in Oroville High School, Las Plumas High School, and Central School. There was a dial-a-message telephone number that belonged to Mr. Worthen, Perry Redwarthen, And he had his own home phone number on there, and there were messages on how to hang black people from trees and the IQ of quiz test and how ugly blacks are, and I won't even put on the air the things that he had. September the 11th, the lockers were filled with the flyers. On September 26th, Joe Hoover, who was to be murdered 4 days later, he's 17 years old, goes to the Oroville Police Department. Now, what he said, we don't know, of course. The story, the cover story, is that he told the Oroville police that for $5, he put flyers into the boxes. But he didn't have to tell that to the police, because if they wanted it, they knew that Worthen had lived in Oroville for 4 years. He celebrated the pizza parlor, the Heil Hitler, the anniversary of Hitler's birthday. He was a no-Nazi to all the law people up there. So I believe that Joe Hoover was telling the police something else, because when he left there, he said, if they know I was here, I'm afraid of my life, I'll be killed. 2 days later, he tells Chris Jones, who's 14 years old, that he had been at the police department. And September the 30th, Rafe Barker, who's 17, and Chris Jones, who's 14, and Perry Worthen, 41 years old, the Nazi leader, he belongs to a group of 100 Nazis up in Oroville, took Joe Hoover out to a road outside of Oroville, left him by the road, and shot him with 8 bullets to his head, the .22 bullets. October the 5th, Joe Hoover's parents reported him missing. 5 days later, the police don't look to Worthen. These guys hang around town, the four of them, all the time, and hang around the house where Worthen, the Nazi leader, lives. October the 5th, the police department isn't looking for anybody, even though earlier this Joe Hoover had went there and said, my life is in danger for being here. October the 13th, the body of Hoover was located. October the 21st and 22nd, the black families had rallies. No suspect was brought in. No one was arrested. October 29th, Charles Manson, the news explained, had a attempted prison escape. He was put again into solitary confinement. He had been out since June of 82, met Worthen 4 times, and now he was busted and he was put in isolation. Manson had access to the prison chapel. That's his job, cleaning the chapels to him at Vacaville, okay? He's not in isolation. He had the screw door to a trap upstairs had been removed, the screws. He had screwdrivers. He had 100 feet of nylon rope. The door was ajar with cord, special cord. There were 3 prisoners inside the chapel with Manson. He came out. There were tape recorders upstairs. There were 4 bags of marijuana in a chapel. Manson had sharp objects filed down. He had inflammable liquids up there, enough to set the prison, I suppose, on fire. Other unnamed white substance. He had everything he needed. And then to top it off, they had a story, a book about air balloons, like he's going to fly out. He can burn the place down. He doesn't have to fly out. So in October 29th, Manson is in solitary, and the media announced a few days later that Manson was busted on escape attempt. And then one leak to the day Perry Red Worthen was arrested after Manson was locked up. Now, the question was, did Joe Hoover go and tell the police that they were going to spring Manson and put him on that 40-acre farm donated by Nazis for Worthen to use for 3 years? Manson had to have special equipment that a provocateur in the prison gave to him. He never could get all this stuff. That prison is not a luxury prison. Even being on the maximum security or the medium security, you're still searched. Your conversations are bugged. There aren't phone conversations. When Worthen goes to see Manson, they had pictures of each other, and Worthen's wearing a sweatshirt that looks like he's breaking open the prison bars with an SS on it. Now, who is Worthen, this guy that's up there visiting old Manson? I mean, we know Manson's record from way back. Perry Red Worthen was not the usual kind of person. He was identified in a little town by Oroville. Everybody knew him. He moved there in 1978. He set up the Dial a Nazi Message with racial slurs. He lived on $499 a month, Social Security. He didn't work. He stayed home and had, as I say, a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, 17-year-old with him. Kids that had dropped out of school, there's marijuana, there were pictures of Adolf Hitler, Nazi salutes, Nazi literature. And as I say, he openly celebrated Hitler's birthday. Everybody in town knew him. Now, his past court records would be available when you go to visit Manson in prison, particularly with his white Aryan brotherhood that Reagan says we're going to bust the drug connections. The past of Worthen would be identifiable. As a youth, teenager, he burned a home down to the ground. He was charged with many arsons. He was put in Napa State Hospital as a dangerous arsonist. When he was there, he got the urge to kill somebody, so he killed Robert Yarak, Y-A-R-A-K, another patient. And he got two 12-year-old boys to sit on Yarak's back while he put a pillow over his head or sheet and smothered him. They tried for a bigger guy, but he got away. He was too big, so they said, let's go for this younger one. So he chose his victim. He smothered him because he said he had an urge to kill someone. So they decided he was dangerous, a psychopathic delinquent. They sent him to a Atascadero. In 1963, when he was 21 years old, he was at the Stockton court. In 1966, he was ruled sane by the psychiatrist and released. So he's been sending these hate messages, having the printing done that goes into the lockers up there, this vicious scene, and sending out hate messages for 4 years up at Oroville in a little town where people easily would identify him, when not only when the literature came out with his phone number, but he's visiting Manson up in the prison. Now, Joe Hoover was murdered. The first accounts were that he went to the police and told them that he was paid $5 to stuff the leaflets into the locker. Now, why would he go there? The leaflets already had Warthin's phone number on them. And if he thinks his life is in danger, why would he have to tell the police, my life is in danger because I earned $5? He's living around Warthin. His best friends live with him and go in and out of the house. Did he tell them that they were planning the escape of Charles Manson? Is that what he knew? Because the story that he went to tell about the leaflets doesn't hold. But if he tells them about the camp they were using, then Manson would use that something different. Because according to news accounts this last week, there's a 40-acre camp owned by Nazis given to Warthin. It's a Nazi retreat. Warthin takes young men with him to explore the 40 acres. They were donated, he said, to his Nazi group for 3 years. They do hiking, camping, target practicing. The camp is located in Siskiyou County, S-I-S-K-I-Y-O-U County. It's for private military maneuvers and rifles loaded with wax bullets near Eureka, Y-R-E-K-A. Joe Hoover went camping there with Warthin. They were anxious to recruit him as a Nazi youth, and Warthin talked, according to the kids, more about Manson than he did about Adolf Hitler. He had pictures of Manson. He had messages of Manson. He said, this is our camp for future survivalism when the race war gets going, and he wanted a commune like Manson had. There are 100 Nazis in Oroville area that worked with Warthin, so if Manson were allowed to escape, they had plenty of places to house Manson if Warthin let him out and if they gave him the accoutrements. They had the places. And it's similar to the old SLA scenario where Thurl Wheeler walked out of Vacaville. Remember, the Symbionese Liberation Army was born in Vacaville prison, where Warthin now is meeting with Charles Manson, the same place. And when Donald DeFries escaped from Soledad, and Thurl Wheeler escaped, in quotes, from Vacaville, they both went up to the Bay Area and met with the very people who were writing and visiting him in prison, and then went on to kidnap Patty Hearst. So here is Warthin and his Nazi cohorts visiting Manson. Manson's up in the attic of the Vacaville Chapel, if you can visualize such a scene. And Warthin's telling his boys, according to this one article in the Chronicle, Warthin had big plans to go to those acres. Manson had given to him. One story says that Charles Manson gave him that so that White Aryan Brotherhood network could be linked. They had plans Rafe Barker kept in his footlocker home of the hills, the lookout tower plans, the plans to build on it and convert it. And Joe Hoover's father of the boy that was murdered, said Joe was leery about this gang. Well, maybe Joe wasn't leery. Maybe Joe was afraid. Maybe he knew that they were going to help spring Manson. They had pictures of Manson, letters autographed from Manson. And here is a situation, Warthin, a known killer, and he threatened after he shot Joe Hoover in the head. He told the boy, Joe, if you say anything, I'm going to murder you. So how many other people has he murdered that didn't speak up? You see, he has all this acreage to use and takes them up camping for their survivalism. Now, Joe Hoover went to the police in Oroville, and he was very nervous. He's killed 4 days later, and the police don't find him. So was the plan to lock Manson up again, did Joe Hoover break it? His father says he was anxious about the group, and there were all the accoutrements, as I say, for Charles Manson to spring something if they wanted to. Now, Charles Manson is no ordinary person either. I mean, with this guy, Perry Worthen, visiting him. Manson was convicted for murdering Sheridan Tate and six in her home, for killing the musician Gary Hillman, for murdering Donald Shorty Shea, S-H-E-A. The tightest security around him until the month his security's over, in walks Worthen, the murderer. Okay? From the medium security. One of the first visitors to meet him at medium security was this kooky Worthen. If you see the two of them together, they're just outrageous. Now, Worthen talked to Manson, as I say. He had the pictures of him. He had the acreage. Could they pull this and use this property? I imagine they could. The way the sheriffs covered up the whole Oroville story and the national and international press, I'm sure that if you could get a burnout at Santa Fe Prison in New Mexico, or the killings in Mississippi, the black prisoners there, the white guy who does this little feat, you could pull another thing at Vacaville and spring these guys. As a matter of fact, the very person that set up the Santa Fe that worked with him was Raymond Pruquinier, who was in charge of the prison system out here in California, and Manson family and all the famous prisoners that went there. But Manson was the most famous person in Vacaville, probably. So after being released from his isolation, can you visit and have your picture taken with Worthen, and the security doesn't check this guy out with his records? See, he didn't come from New York or Pennsylvania or somewhere. This is a United States, California product, right? Out of Stockton and Tuscadero and Napa. So it wasn't hard to find his record, okay? So the point is that the land was there. There are 100 people that belong to the organization. They could be there. The mentality was there. They both want race wars. They both hate viciously black. They're both violent people. They meet together and they have the funding and the means. Now, as soon as Manson was busted, they didn't explain what the three prisoners were doing with Manson. The first thing the news media said was Manson will be not be charged for escape attempt, even though he has the rope. Where did he get the telephone cord? Where did he get 100 feet of nylon rope, the files, the sharpened weapons? What was he doing? What is the white chemical substance they haven't identified? What was the inflammable substance that Manson had in the chapel attic? The nails, screws were removed. Can you see this motley crowd? And the guard comes in and says, oh, boys, come on. So Manson goes to his cell, and the other three who are with him, their cells are clean. You can't charge them for a speck of LSD or marijuana. Everything is Manson's. They have to be like Louis Tackwood. They have to be agent provocateurs, because their names aren't in the news. The guys that were with them, they're not identifiable. It will fade into a non-news story. And the people in town in Oroville had some interviews and felt that Joe Hoover was a hero for endangering his life to come forward to the police, and they think that he was telling them how he made his little $5 to hand out those pamphlets. But that wasn't the point. What he feared for his life, if he really feared for his life, he wouldn't earn $5 on it and then go tell the police what he did. If he took $100,000, he may have guilt, or $10,000 that could be traced or whatever. But for $5 of worth in Social Security money, he's going to tell them his life is in danger. I think he went camping with them. He knew the land. He knew the visits to Manson. He knew that Manson was sending them autographed pictures. There was the means of getting Manson out and the property. And then what we would get was what Ronald Reagan was good at as governor. Let's go for the SLA. Let's go for the Manson family. Let's have that counterterrorism. Because then you can break into farms. You can bust people. You can look for him. You can begin the no-knocks again and searches, all for the excuse of Manson. When they finally subdue the Tylenol killer, they could switch the Manson. So I do believe that Joe Hoover was shot. He was scared, and it did blow a plan, and now Worthen is locked up. The two boys are locked up, and Manson is back confined. And the White Aryan Brotherhood and the, I call it the Reagan Reichstag operation, will have to find another modus operandi. Well, this time is up now. It goes fast for me. I don't know about you. This is Mae Brussel, and this is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.